This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to Goodfellas Minute 22.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care.
Hey, and welcome to Goodfellas Minute, the only podcast that analyzes the Martin Scorsese film Goodfellas one awkward minute at a time. I'm Ron Richards, and with me is Connor Kilpatrick.
Hello.
And Josh Flanagan.
Hello.
And also joining us is Tom Merritt, the host of the Daily Tech News Show, Sword and Laser, Current Geek, Cord Killers, and every other podcast on the internet. How you doing, Tom?
Thanks for letting me come back. This is fun.
Yeah, it's great. Good to have you. I hope you got a cocktail poured and ready to dive in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So minute 22 starts with Henry calmly telling Tommy that he's funny, and it ends with everyone laughing after Tommy has his way with Henry.
So,
did you right off the same minute?
Well, he had his way in a certain way.
So right off the bat, my big note for this minute is that this is the first time in the movie where things get serious. And what I mean is that up until this point, we've sort of been floating on this cloud that's of doo-wop music and a jaunty voiceover about how great the life is. And even when bad things are happening, it's still presented as kind of a fun adventure. And this is the moment in the movie where it literally, the music stops and it gets like, oh, this is actually terrifying.
That's actually a really good point, is that there is, the soundtrack wise, the only audio is dialogue here.
Right.
And is this the first time in the movie where there's no music?
For a significant amount of time, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It's so interesting you point that out, because it's also a fake out, right? It's not really exactly serious.
But it shows you how quickly things turn on a dime here and can get serious and dangerous and possibly deadly.
But then
he turns it around on. But I recently, you know, doing the show, I've been watching him just in my minute as we do this. But I recently sat down to watch it all the way through again, and I was really struck by how up until this point it's sort of this fun ride, and then boom, here's where you go, oh shit,
yeah,
this is actually dangerous. So this is one of the reasons why I love this minute so much.
Well, this is the one that, you know, if I were to look at what made this movie for me, and I remember like the first time I saw it. And sort of just being entranced by it, not knowing anything about it or what it was, and like this is when you're completely hooked.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm.
Oh, this is going on. And it's funny is that while this, the thing that's happening in this isn't real, imagine just for, you know, that if these are real people and somebody had done something differently during this, it would have become completely real. Like if Henry got offended,
yeah,
you know, like they would have killed each other.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is how people die. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
This is how Tommy DeSimone killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just over arguing.
Well, and because you already know just from the previous story how much of a psychopath he is, you're like, wait, maybe he means it. You know, maybe he's just, you know, decided that he doesn't like the situation right now, and people are going to get killed.
I don't think it's like a joke in that sense. Like he's like, well, I'm gonna test the room this way. He's showing off. He's being the alpha dog. He's showing everything that's going. You know, he's gonna like, well, I'm gonna try to control everybody and see how it goes. And Henry, was smart enough to know how to play it, basically, I think.
Well, and even when he admits, you know, like, I had you going, you're wondering if another shoe's still yet to drop. And as often as this thing has been parodied and as many times as I've heard people quote it, I was still uncomfortable watching it this time around. And I was still putting myself in Ray Liotta's head, like, what would I say to try to calm somebody down if they were really doing this to me?
And it's funny because even I mean, I've watched this movie many, many times. Watching just this isolated minute made it 10 times more agonizing for some reason.
And maybe because it's such a long minute.
It's a long minute. Yeah. Like in my head, this scene was much shorter than the, than the 2 minutes that it's turning out to be. But this entire minute up until I think like the 54 or 55 second mark is just silent. And like, I started looking around at everybody at the table, and everyone at the table is looking down, looking away. At one point, there's the shot of Pesci. So we see Liotta's back and we see Nicky Eyes' back. And there's one point where Anthony Carbone on the left, like, kind of does the makes eye contact with Nicky Eyes and then looks away, like, does the eye bulge, like, oh shit. You feel the awkwardness.
I like that they're all super tough guys, and no one knows what to do. Like, at one point, I think it's Anthony Stabile. He's the one who's like, no, he just met, and he's a big boy.
Yeah.
You know, like, so he tries to do something, and then after that, nobody gets involved.
Yeah.
And well, it's not just the people at the table. It's everybody around in the entire restaurant.
Well, not yet. Oh. Not yet. No, at this point, it is just the table. Like, if you look at the, I'm watching the rest of the restaurant, and the restaurant is not notified to what's going on here yet. Yeah. Yeah. It is just at the table. Tomorrow's minute is when the restaurant gets involved.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, the reason why this scene works so great is because Joe Pesci is masterful, going from hysterically funny to incredibly terrified. And let's talk about Joe Pesci for a second, who won an Oscar for this role. And I think probably on the strength of the scene.
I was going to ask, do you think this scene won the Oscar for him? Probably.
This is the one they sent in.
Yeah. In the sizzle reel. The sizzle reel.
I don't know how that works, but I figure that's how it works. They would.
So Joseph Frank Pesci was born from Newark, New Jersey, and he's currently 72 years old. And in retirement, he retired from acting in 1999, even though he's made 3 acting appearances since his retirement, including a cameo in Good Shepherd, which De Niro directed. He did a film, Love Ranch, and he did a Snickers commercial. But he's basically...
He did a Snickers commercial out of retirement?
Yes, he did a Snickers commercial in 2011 with Don Rickles. One of those commercials where you got hungry and turned into a different person.
What was that conversation with his agent like? Listen, Joe, I know you're retired. And I know you did Bobby De Niro's movie a couple of years ago. But listen, we got the Snickers part that's made for you.
I think it went like this. Do you want $1 million? How long? One day. All right, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's how it went.
I'm pretty sure that's probably how it went, too. So Joe Pesci started acting when he was 5 years old in local plays, and then he moved on when he was 10 to local television. But interesting fact about Joe Pesci is that he grew up friends with Frankie Valli and Tommy DeVito, who is the name of his character in this movie, Tommy DeVito. And Tommy DeVito and Frankie Valli were musicians, and they were in a band together, and it was Joe Pesci who introduced him to Bob Guadio, who joined Frankie Valli and Tommy DeVito to create the Four Seasons. And if you saw that movie, or probably saw the play, I don't know if it was in the play or not, you'll know that scene happened. Joe Pesci's character in that movie.
Hopefully you saw the play and not the movie, because the movie is awful, whereas the play is delightful.
Was he in the play? Was he a character in the play as well?
I didn't see the play.
Well, then how would you know?
My mother told me. They loved it. They loved it.
So as we mentioned yesterday's episode, he's also a musician. He was in a band called Joey D and the Starlighters. And he was a guitarist who was replaced by Jimi Hendrix later on. He's like the Forrest Gump of the music industry.
There are a lot of weird music connections to people in this movie.
Well, the connections keep getting weirder.
Yeah.
he was in a comedy duo called Vincent and Pesci in the late 60s and early 70s. And his partner, Frank Vincent, who played Billy Batts.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Get your shine box. No way. We'll see more about that.
So, and then he won the Oscar at age 47 for playing Tommy DeVito in Goodfellas. So he's a very interesting guy, musician, actor.
And then later received international fame through the Home Alone series.
Yes. Well, he became a star after this movie.
Yeah.
My Cousin Vinny. He's in Casino as well. I mean, he's in a lot of stuff. He probably came first to fame in Raging Bull.
Right.
So there you go for Joe. That's Joe Pesci. He's a great actor.
Didn't he do a sketch on Saturday Night Live where he was trying on pinky rings?
Yes.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, am I remembering that correctly?
No, you are remembering that correctly. And he would mouth his like offense at the person in the mirror.
Yeah.
It was like, you're talking to me? Yeah.
It must have been after Goodfellas, that early 90s time when I watched Saturday Night Live, as opposed to now.
Yeah.
him winning the, and this is the only, he won the only Oscar that the entire movie won.
Yes.
And I guess it's well deserved. Yeah. I forget.
No, his is, his is totally. I'm not sighing at his win.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that later.
I know.
Yes.
All right. So what else is going on here in this minute?
I thought it was interesting going back to Pesci and his acting mode. The moment, you know, so we have him inquiring with Henry as to what makes him funny and why is he so funny. And Henry saying, no, it's the way you tell a story. His voice cracks at one point where he's like, how do I know how I'm, you know, like, and it just, it to me, that was like a real, I don't, you know, of course he probably didn't mean to or whatever, but it was a real humanizing kind of mode. He's been talking for who knows how long straight. Right. He's telling the story and then he switches it and he switches gears emotionally so fast that you hear it in his voice, which I thought, whether that was planned or not, was a great touch.
Well, the other thing I noticed, too, is it takes 35 seconds through this minute that we're watching. And it already had started a little before for the people around Ray Liotta to finally catch on that this is no longer funny, that Joe Pesci is not joking, even though we find out later he is, but it takes that long. He plays it so well, especially knowing that this is improv. Like, he just pushes it until everyone has given up on the idea that this is a joke.
It's
masterful.
Also, a lot of in the beginning of the minute, there's a lot of fun editing with Liotta's hands. If you watch it, at one point he's explaining to Tommy, you're funny, and he's using his hands to go left and right, and then it cuts back to the shot of Joe Pesci and his left hand is up holding the cigarette. And then it cuts back to him and his hands are in front of him again. So it's the classic Goodfellas editing continuity mistakes, which...
Magic hands.
Yeah.
Which that would imply two takes, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, potentially. Yeah.
Well, they had to do the reverse. They wouldn't have been shooting at the same time, so it had to...
Yeah.
Interesting.
Ron, how do you feel about Joe Pesci's collar in this minute?
I love the collars. It's, you know I love the collars.
It's peak collar. There's almost no gap. It's almost... They're nearly parallel. Very acute angle, and he's
almost like a white ascot,
and he's got like the biggest example of one. Like, Henry's is pretty good, but it's not quite as extreme, and so
Henry's got a little spread.
I believe that this is among them a nonverbal cue that indicates relation in the pack, and who is the alpha male. And at this point, clearly it is Pesci, as he has the smallest pace between the peaks of his collar.
The alpha male will display the smallest gap.
Well, it's interesting because Tommy wouldn't have been high ranked in this crew, but they're all afraid of him because he's the craziest one of the crew.
Right.
Well, none of them are made. So they're not made, so they're all open.
We don't know
season.
If any of the guys around them are made.
Yeah, we don't know the status of everybody. But what's interesting going back to the real life versus the portrayal and stuff like that is that so when Pesci shot the movie, he was 46 years old. Right. So right now he's 46 years old. In real life, Tommy D, who he's based on, he died at 28 in the late 70s. Oh. So at this point, and this is like the mid 60s. So in reality, he's supposed to be like 17 or 18 years old here. Right. So
he deserves that actor, that Oscar is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. but even at this point, it's early in their mob careers. So the point where, you know, he's probably building a reputation for himself, but he's not super respected in that regard, you know?
Which leads me to believe he's not hanging out with a bunch of made guys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Jimmy left, you know, but Jimmy wasn't made, but
yes and no. I mean, these guys all hung out together. They're part of the crew.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you the power of being the guy in the room that no one knows what they're going to do.
At
any moment.
And so, like, what is going through the moment of, in the last 10 seconds when Tommy Pesci, I get screwed up myself, when he gets
I'm trying so hard not to say lines from the movie that haven't shown up yet.
I know, yeah.
And it's really difficult. So I acknowledge what you just went through, and I'm not going to give you a hard time for it.
But when he goes, what makes me funny? And then there's a hanging pause before Henry finally laughs and realizes that he's getting screwed with. And it just lasts forever, and it's just hanging, and you see the confusion on Henry's face, where he's just like, "Where is this guy coming from?" Like, he doesn't know which way it's going to go, and I wonder what, like, the decision to say, "Get the fuck out," you know, like where he says, "You're screwing with me," like, because that's a risk too. Because what if he's not?
He's dead.
Yeah. Well, he's not any worse off than he would have been.
Yeah.
It was already pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, fun fact for this minute, at one point, Tommy asks Henry if he's a clown. In 2014, there was a national clown shortage.
Wow.
The World Clown Association lost 1,000 members, and they only had about 3,500. So
that's no laughing matter.
It's no laughing matter.
So. I don't even know. I'm just gonna let it go.
I'm angry and impressed.
Like I said, we're in the same location, basically the same camera shot for 5 minutes here.
Hey, our headless man starts waving. Yeah. At the very end.
Yep. Yeah, he starts cooling himself off. He was so tense.
Well, if you're a son, you start backing away slowly from the moment.
That's clearly, we're going to get to this. I don't want to get to it too early, but I think this might be a personal flaw that Sonny has.
Yeah.
he's got a timing issue.
Well, but that is a great observation, Tom. I did not see the waving of the paper in his hand to cool himself off. That is just like, wow.
It's right at the tension break, too. Yeah, it's like, oh.
And at the tension break, also, going back to the collars, what does Henry do? But Henry, his right hand goes right to his collar and his top, like, whoo, I'm safe. You know, like, my neck is saved, you know? Oh man, so good.
Oh yeah, everything's fine now, Sonny. Nothing's gonna happen.
No, it's all fine. All right.
Anybody else have anything else for this minute?
Amuse you. I love the way those words sound together and the way that he says them.
So good.
Amuse you.
All right. Well, thanks, Tom, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And for people who are just tuning in, where can people find you on Twitter? How about that?
Twitter, probably the easiest thing to go to twitter.com/TomMerritt and then look at the description, because that's where my real Twitter handle is, which is ACEDTECT, and it's a long story.
You can do a whole podcast about that story. All right.
Minute by minute. Explanation.
Yeah. All right. So tune in tomorrow for minute number 23. Until then, you can find us on Twitter at GoodfellowsMin or on Instagram and Facebook at GoodfellowsMinute. You can find all the episodes over at GoodfellowsMinute.com. If you want to support the show, you can go to GoodfellowsMinute.com/support, where you can find links to shop on Amazon. If you haven't purchased the movie or the book the movie's based on, get it now while it's on sale or if it's available. I don't know if it's going away. Actually, did you see they re-released the Blu-ray with that awful cover?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, we should do a show about that. Anyway, but you can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/GFM. And we want to thank everybody who stepped up and supported us. You guys are the ones who are making the show possible. So we want to thank everybody who has decided to donate to the show and help us pay for our bandwidth and all that fun stuff. And tune in later this week on Friday. We're going to be highlighting one of our patrons. So you definitely don't want to miss that. If you've got any questions or any observations of your own, you can always email us at contact@goodfellowsminute.com. And make sure you check out our sister site, ifanboy.com, for a weekly comic book podcast talking about fun stuff there as well. So until tomorrow, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I don't know what makes me so funny, but I'm Josh.
You're a funny guy.
I go from rags to riches. My fate is up to you.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.